Hello and welcome to Season 2 of The Culture Couch, the podcast all about pop culture and any old nonsense that falls out of our mouths. Remember to give us a follow on Instagram at the_culture_couch so you can let us know what you think should feature on future episodes. And here we go. Hello and welcome back to the Culture Couch. I'm joined by Mr. John Beacle. How the devil are we, sir?
Hello. Yeah, good. Thank you. Back to work today. So, tired.
Was it 6 weeks off? Just trying to get comfortable.
Something like that. Yeah, you get used to it. You like acclimatise. When my alarm went off this morning, I swore at it.
I know. It's the one thing I do miss about working in schools is that time off. But then I could book time off when I want, so that does help.
Yeah, cheap holidays when you do it that way.
Massively, yeah. Except for, obviously, my wife works in school, so I have to book it off in school holidays anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
So...
Hey, it could be worse. We could be on Warwickshire times and stuff like that. Because it's even more.
And we do, yeah, because Leicestershire, because it's a week out, we kind of get a bit of a cheaper rate if you go in that week.
I think they double the prices for us and then double it again for them.
Mm. So. Bastards, that's what they are. But what we're doing this week then, news, what we've been watching always. I've only got one bit of news and we'll go into that in a minute. And then we're going to recast the X-Men if they were to come into the MCU. One of them I want to ask you, because someone at work said today, when I was suggesting this, that he was already in the MCU, which I think is bullshit, and I didn't have time to Google it, so...
I've got a bit of a yellow card in that regard, that when I did this person, they went, oh shit, they already did that. And then I've figured out a way for it still to work.
It's allowed with this multiverse stuff.
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
Yeah, I basically came up with a storyline instead of picking someone else.
There you go. I like it. So the only bit of news I've got, and I don't know two blokes speaking about this is the best, but there's obviously all this controversy come out about the new Snow White. Have you known any about this?
I've seen... Is it about the dwarves or...?
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, because I know people are saying, yeah, like, I remember, I think it was Piers Morgan, all the things Piers Morgan said, he was saying that actually the one sort of role that you allow dwarves to have, and like, there's seven jobs at the end of the day for him.
Yeah.
You've took that away from him. And he had someone on there, I don't know if it was Hornswoggle, actually, or he had someone on there arguing the same point, saying, like, yeah, like, I could have quite easily auditioned for that.
I'm pretty sure Peter Dinklage has said that as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a big paycheck.
So they're not even called dwarves anymore. They're going to be magical creatures or something. There's not even seven, there's eight.
Yeah.
They're all genders, they're all, I don't know.
Just fair enough if you want to throw like a female dwarf in there. Throw a female dwarf in there. You know, that's apparently the original lot, they had so many different ideas that got panned. Instead of just sneezy bashful, apparently they had loads of dwarf ideas that they kind of went, yeah, I can't really put that in a kid's program.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is it's just not going to be Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs from all the different things it's kicking up about. So why not just create an original film? Why remake it to do like, I get, you know, there was obviously a bit of controversy around the fact that they cast Hayley Bailey as the Little Mermaid and she was black and she didn't have red hair, but she was phenomenal in that film. And there's always a little twist and turns that I don't mind, but the fact that you're taking the dwarves away, and then, so the other thing about it was Rachel Zegler, who is playing Snow White, has basically been getting the brunt of it, because she's come out, and she's basically said she doesn't like the original cartoon and only ever watched it once.
I think I might have seen this, yeah.
Yeah, so first of all, that's ridiculous. Why are you doing a role that you don't like? She said there's going to be no big focus on the love story with a guy that stalks her. So she makes out the prince stalks her.
I'm pretty sure he just turns up at the end.
Yeah. And if anything, Snow White lusts after him for the whole film.
Yeah. I haven't seen it for a very long time, but my memory is kind of, she's been poisoned and is in this coma. And the only way to wake her up is for him to give her a kiss. And they kind of go, oi, come and do this.
Yeah.
Because it'll help our mate.
So. I mean, it's literally, so she made some good points, like, in a separate interview where she was like, you know, she's dreaming of becoming the leader, and what was the exact quote? Leader that she always wanted to be, and this fearless, fair, brave and true woman. Fair. Like, update yeah. that, because obviously films that are back in the day, they are a bit settled in their ways. But then it's just the fact that she was like, said it's extremely dated and stuff. And I saw a brilliant video, and I don't know the woman's name, where she broke it down, where actually Snow White is quite a leader, because she gets these seven dwarfs in line. Yeah. They're all men.
Yeah, she sorts them out.
Because basically, the other thing that people have been going on online, and a big, big thing that's come from it, is that people are saying the prince didn't ask for consent before he kisses her. So, he's basically...
I mean, he wouldn't get much of a response, would he?
She's I mean, it's true her. Love as well. It's not like it's some random guy that Snow... It's like Snow White must love him as well, because it's true love, and it's true love's kiss that wakes her up. I'm not going to lie, if I'm on a deathbed... And anyone wants to come up and kiss me and it's true love and you're going to save my life, I'll take it.
Obviously, if I'm in a coma, the only way to get out of it is you giving me a kiss. I expect you to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't care if it's man, woman, child. It's a bit weird. I don't know what I was about to say. Animal, whatever it is. Kiss me and save me. So it's just caused a lot of shit on the internet. And I just think you've put a rod in your own back before you've even released the film.
Yeah, I remember seeing sort of about it saying, like, being adamant. The man won't save her, or something like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't need no man to save her. And yeah, they're kind of just making a different film.
So just make one.
Yeah, just make a different
and
film.
And I mean, let's be honest, the Disney remakes, for the most part, are shit.
Yeah.
So...
I haven't seen many. What have I seen? I saw bits of Mulan, because Danielle had it on, and I just...
Mulan was crap.
I just... I mean, they got rid of the best character.
Yeah.
Which was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. They...
Beauty and the Beast, I've seen.
I haven't actually seen Beauty.
I got conned into going to the cinema with it. We had a deal because it was on at the same time as Kong versus Godzilla, and the deal was I go and see Beauty and the Beast, and she'll come and see
Kong
v Godzilla with me. It was when it came on Sky. I watched Godzilla versus Kong, so I got one and truly conned there.
So you didn't get your part of the deal.
No, I didn't. I had to sit through that.
Yeah, well, The Lion King's awful. The most pointless remake of things.
Yeah, I've heard it's basically just a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah, and the added was crap. I mean, just... And then what else has there been? Like I say, Little Mermaid was a surprise for me because it was pretty good. And they didn't... They changed a few bits. The new songs weren't great, but it wasn't bad. There was all, I think I gave it a 6 out of 10 on Instagram. I really enjoyed the Jungle Book remake. I think that's the best one they've done.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I enjoyed that one.
Which obviously proves that The Lion King could have been good, because there's only one human character in that.
Yeah.
And then Aladdin ain't too bad.
Yeah, I struggle with Aladdin, because he's just a pompous prick. and that's in all, it's not just that film, it's just everything you see. He's like, I mean, he's on the streets. Why is he so cocky when he's homeless and stealing a living?
Yeah.
And he's really arrogant.
Yeah, you could get it when he becomes... The prince, when he gets his wish, become the arrogant knobhead then.
Yeah, I even went to the Concordia to watch it, because someone I used to work with was in it when it was the pantomime. He was the genie. He wanted the role of Aladdin. I was there we're at the pub one time. And I'm like, no, you want the genie. The genie's the best part.
Yeah,
genie's always the best part. I feel bad because he got the genie role, and he was barely in it.
Really?
But the guy that played Aladdin was so smug. And I was rooting for Jafar. I wanted him dead.
Come on, Jafar. At least in the panto, you can actually boo.
Yeah, true. Only one sitting there booing the hero.
Yeah. I think there's obviously a couple more films like Cinderella and that, but I ain't seen them.
No.
And I don't count these films like Cruella and stuff, because they're not actually remakes, are they? They have done 101 live-action remake. But, like... Back in that day, it was still quite the same tale, but different when they made them.
I think they've kind of realised, especially with that Cruella, they've kind of realised that the villains are the cool part.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they need to capitalise on that and make a film just about them. And almost make them sympathetic.
Yeah.
When actually, just make her a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just forgot, actually. I was reading a bit of news today at work that I forgot about, and it just popped into my head. So they're doing a new... PlayStation are doing a new handheld... So this is the weird thing. They're doing a new handheld console that effectively isn't a new handheld console. So it is a console in your hand, But what it actually does is turn your PlayStation 5 on and cast it to your console in your hand.
Right, okay.
Which to me seems a bit pointless.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for me when Danielle was watching Love Island or something like that, and I could, if I could turn my Xbox on and sit and play it here.
You can technically do that on your phone with cloud gaming. I know it's not obviously going to be great quality.
But this is it. The graphics aren't going to be as good.
Which this is obviously meant to be a bit better. It's $200 they've said it's going to be. And you've obviously got to buy the PS5 as well.
Yeah.
So it's an extra £200 on top of whatever your console is. For me, it seems a bit pointless. And I know there is a way you can apparently do it with a PS4 and there's something else they released. But I just think leave the handheld game to Nintendo now.
Yeah.
It's what they do. They do it well. Just let them have it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, like I say, even if I was doing that with while Danielle was watching whatever she was watching that I'm not interested in. I mean, I've got plenty of other stuff. I've got my phone, I've got books, I've got loads of other stuff, so it's not a dire need. I can wait to play the games.
It's also, you need a constant Wi-Fi connection with this handheld device. So you can't just take it on the train and play.
Which is kind of the fun thing for like your PSVs and your Game Boys and stuff, wasn't it?
With a Switch.
Or your Switch, yeah.
Yeah, like I've got a Switch, and I've only got a Switch Lite, and it's perfect for that. And sometimes when Stacey's watching or Logan's watching something on the telly, I'll whip it out, and at the minute I'm playing Knights of the Old Republic again on it. But yeah, that's all I had for news. So you watched anything good or shit recently?
What have we been watching? We watched the second... Well, we watched the whole of Good Omens because we... The second series is out. And we thought we'll watch the first series and just carry it on. It's all right. The first series is a lot better.
Is it?
I think... I did not like the ending. It took me right out.
Of season two?
Yeah. Yeah, just what happens at the end, I was like, there's no need for that. It was just forced in a way.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was all right. There's some good moments in it. David Tennant and Michael Sheen are just brilliant together. Since watching it, Danielle's been sending me clips that she's seen on the reels of them doing that show. Was it?
They did the show where they spoke to each other through
COVID. Some of their arguments through that are hilarious. I don't know if it's because I did a bit of research and...
This is a Terry Pratchett book, isn't it?
Yeah, he wrote it with somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
So that's the first series, I think. I'm not 100% sold on that. But yeah, so the first series is based on this book. And I think the second series is just sort of an extension.
What they've done.
It's not based on the book.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
Well, I've only seen the first series. I forgot the second season had come on. I'm gonna be honest. I think it's a bit overhyped.
Yeah.
The David Tennant and Mark Sheen, like I say, are just the best thing about it. But I can't even remember what happened in the first series.
This is why we went back and watched it. And there's I forgot Jack Whitehall was in the first series.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the witch finder that ends up finding a witch and working with her and getting with her. And then, there's a few bits. But in the second series, so in the first series, they take the baby to this nun and she cocks it up and it gets switched around. And then they go back later to ask her something. She's running like a paintball club where that thing is.
Yeah, I think I remember.
And then in the second series, the same actress is playing a completely different person.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't twig to that. I saw her and I was like, oh, it's her. So because she was in League with the Demons, so she's probably spying on David Tennant and whatever. Yeah. And then, no, she's just a completely different character that owns a coffee shop.
So it's not even done in her American Horror Story vein where it's like, this is a whole different storyline because it's still there. They're still the same characters, so that's why it would come.
And then Miranda Richardson's in it as well. She plays a different character, but she's made up differently to the point where...
Yeah, so you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell it's a different character. And it took me a minute to realise it was the same person.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not completely against. Deadwood cast the same guy in two different roles, and I didn't realise until Alex Locke told me.
Well, yeah, Game of Thrones did it a few times, didn't they? Recast people, but...
Yeah, true.
Fair play. I will get round to probably watching it, but there's so much to watch. I mean, I finally got round because Stacey's been out a few nights, so I watched a couple of horror films. one that I've been meaning to watch for a while, which was Smile,
all right,
that everyone was raving about. And I instantly went, this is just a knockoff of It Follows, which is one of my favourite horror films in recent memory, which is more like a B-movie horror film, but it's given like A-level acting, say, or whatever. So it's a the premise of It Follows is basically this girl has sex with a random stranger. He passes like a demon onto her.
Right.
And when the demon, or whatever it is basically, it's just, it can be anyone, and they just walk towards you. And, like, if they get you, they attack you. So it's just anyone in the streets. So like, at one point, it's just an old woman's walking at her. So as she realises, like, anyone around her could just, like, when she's walking down the street, people are walking. It's like, are they that thing walking? It's just trying to constantly catch up with her.
They're trying to redefine STD, aren't they?
Yeah. It's essentially, that's the whole gimmick of it. But it's so well done, and it sounds like a completely bonkers storyline, but it is great. Whereas Smile is obviously you see people smile, and then eventually it will take over you and attack you. But it's just there was some good. I always think with horror films they've got to make you chill a little bit, like you've got to think, oh shit, that's got me. And it had a couple of moments and all that, but it wasn't as good as everyone made out. And I think the reason everyone made out so good is because they hadn't watched It Follows and realised that it. And it, even to a degree at the end, so like, one of my main criticisms of It Follows was, it was so good because it was so simple and it could be anyone walking at her. Like, one of the last things is like a giant man, and it's absurd. And I'm a bit like, well, why have you gone ridiculous? It's creepy because it's anyone. And Smile does the exact same thing. She goes like to this cabin where it's an old house, and it's a mum, but she becomes giant. I'm like, so you even copied that?
Like, you've shoehorned that in because her mum wasn't giant.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, ugh, whatever. But it was all right. And then I watched X, which is another film which I know has had a prequel to it, which is called Pearl, that everyone's been raving about. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
Whereas General Ortega, who's obviously massive at the minute, is in it in a supporting role. So it's about a group of people go to film a porno at this like cabin in Southern America, and then basically shit goes down. Very much like, kind of, and people loved it, I think, because it was trying to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of vibes, in a sense. There's no cannibals in it, but it's got that grittiness to it. But fucking takes an hour for anything to happen. Like, literally anything. Like, any actual horror. So I was just like, can you get to the point now? And then there was only 20 minutes left, so I was a bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think with horror films, you're there for the creepy stuff, aren't you? And either creepy or gore nowadays.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want them to actually get on with it. I'm not bothered about who these people are, because they're about to die.
Exactly, yeah. And most of the time in horror films, they're all knobheads.
Yeah, so you want to, I think they do that deliberately to make you sort of not feel bad when they get butchered by some bloke with a mask.
And I know they're doing a sequel to X now, it's going to be like part of a trilogy. And Pearl is meant to be like loads better, so I will check it out, but I'm not massively down for it, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch many horror films, and I think it's because they lose me the moment they put based on a true story in there.
Yeah.
Because half the time, like, no, it's not. Or... if it is, it's very, very minor, isn't it? Isn't the one where someone knocked on the door and asked if, like, Dave was in? And apparently that can be classed as a true story because it happened to the director or something like that.
Do you want to know what's... I'll tell you what's fucked me off recently. You know when you get on Facebook stuff where there's, like, these videos of people are arguing, say, like, about a parking space or some shit? Some of them now flash up with, this is filmed for entertainment purposes. What the fuck are you sharing that with me then for? The whole point they're any good is because it's some knobhead having a go at Tom, Dick and Harry for an absolutely uncalled for reason. If you film that and faked it, what's the goddamn point? Well, I just... I don't know. That was like Paranormal Activity, weren't it? Where at the end it went... It said based on a true story at the start, didn't it? But then at the end it goes, nah, it's not.
Yeah.
But, oh, great.
Yeah, but, that took a while to get going, Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Well, what was the other, is it The Strangers that basically, that it was like based on a true events? All it was that a load of people in mass knocked on his neighbour's house. That was it. The rest is just made up. So it's like, you're not based on true events, but someone knocking on your door in a mask, which happens every Halloween.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're not special either.
No. What else have you been watching? Anything good?
In preparation for this, I watched X-Men and X-Men 2. I kind of finished there because, one, I've been playing a lot of Xbox. I've been playing... I started GTA again because it was free.
And I was like, Five?
Yeah. I was like, I'll give it a go. I haven't played it for years. And then I saw that Starfield was coming out. Mm. So I've been boshing through GTA to try and complete it.
Yeah, I've pre-done that. I can,
yeah, I've been the same. And it looks insane. But yeah, so I did the two X-Men films. I realised Toad is probably my favourite.
Yeah.
Even though he has four lines. One of them is just winding up Sabretooth when he gets back. Another one is when he's possessed by Jean Grey. And then I think there's another one where he's just winding people up.
Yeah.
And when they're in the Statue of Liberty, he ends up... Mystique fights Wolverine, they go off. And he's left in there fighting Storm, Jean Grey and Cyclops. And he almost wins.
Yeah, arguably three people that have got much more powerful powers than him.
Yeah. He ruins... Cyclops pretty much straight away and just shuts him away. And
wow, Cyclops is a dick. And when we come to one, it's funny because I just went, I don't like the actor, so that's why I've put yours, because I think Cyclops is a dick.
I feel like he got an unfair, what's it, because he was literally in those two films just to be Jean Grey's boyfriend.
Yeah.
That was literally all he did. And every now and again, he drove Professor X to go and see Magneto.
And he literally wants to be the leader, but Wolverine turns up and everyone's like, oh, Wolverine's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, am I not cool?
Apparently in the comics he was actually the leader and he was all right, but yeah. I haven't read the comics, so I've seen those films.
Yeah, so I've based my pick on that, but I went to see Strays at the cinema.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where the dog keeps getting left and he thinks...
Yeah, so the Will Ferrell voice is the main dog. You've got Jamie Foxx is the second dog, who teaches him how to become a stray. And then the other two are, is it Randall Park? Who is he from Parks and Rec or something? He's from one of them type series. Randall he's in Park. WandaVision.
IMDb.
He's like the, whoever the people are that have locked it down, like outside the dome with the woman from Thor. If you can remember.
Vaguely. I've probably spelled Randall wrong here.
RANDALL.
Randall Clark. Park.
As in going down to Park.
Oh, he's...
He's from something.
Yeah, he's also the copper in Ant-Man that puts the finger in his...
So he plays that same character in WandaVision.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's in TV, some TV show. And then Isla Fisher is the other dog. And I just came away disappointed because it's such stupid humour, which is usually straight up my street.
Yeah.
But I think because of the premise being talking dogs that are being crude, it kind of wears quite thin quite fast.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some funny parts in it. It's not necessarily bad. And Jamie Foxx is brilliant in it. Like, his dog is amazing, especially compared to, Will Ferrell. I just don't know if I've tired of Will Ferrell a bit as well.
Yeah.
Because I didn't enjoy him in Barbie, where I was like, well... If I go and see Barbie and I don't like it, it's got Will Ferrell in it, so at least I'll have that. And I was a bit like, oh, your character's shit. And then I don't think he's done necessarily a great film recently.
No, I'm struggling to think of one. I think maybe it's just because he does the same thing in almost all of them.
Yeah.
It's just boring now. Go on, mix it up a bit. Do something new.
Yeah. Even John C. Reilly's ventured into other things and some serious stuff.
Yeah.
And don't get wrong, I've not seen Will Ferrell's Stranger Than Fiction, where he is a bit more serious. So, and I think he has got that acting range, but I don't know. It was all right. I wouldn't rush to cinema to see it. Easy film to put on at home, put in the background. But overall, it just felt cheaply made as well. They'd rushed it out.
Yeah.
To a degree that it was we've got this concept, let's get it done. But I did like that they used real dogs and it wasn't CGI mess. They actually went with the dogs. But yeah, Jamie Foxx, massive highlight. But anything else you've watched?
I watched, this was a couple of weeks ago to be fair, as a recommendation by my sister's boyfriend Louis. It was The Detectorists.
Oh yeah,
it's on Netflix at the minute. And yeah, it's just a sort of chilled comedy that there's not too much drama. It's not hilarious, like, see, like the Inbetweeners was or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has got quite a lot of funny moments in it. And yeah, it's Mackenzie Crook and Toby Jones, who are just mates that go out metal detecting together, and they're part of a club, and they're all a bit useless. And then there's a rival club as well, and the two main people in there look like Simon and Garfunkel.
Which, fair enough. And,
yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, just a bit chilled. But
I need some to put on in the evening, so I might try and suggest it to Stacey, because at the minute she's got me watching At Home with the Furies, which is the Tyson Fury documentary.
I saw a bit clip of it, and when he's waking up all the kids, and some of the names they've got, like Venezuela or something like that.
I mean, it isn't too bad. That kind of, it's not like it's more documentary than reality TV. But and apparently, Stacey told me the other day, halfway through, he basically got fucked off and just went, "You can all fuck off now," and was like trying to get rid of him, but he came back to it. But I mean, because at the start, his wife's like, "Oh, he's got bipolar," and I was a bit like, "You labelling him as something he's not." About 10 more minutes in, I was like, "Yeah, you are bipolar." Because like, he'll just get up. He's like, so he goes to his christening for his kid, for his baby kid, and he gets pissed off at something. He's like, "Right, I'm going home to walk the dog," and he just fucks off like at this christening where they've got all their family and friends there. Or he just at one point he goes, "I'm taking the kids camping. They've got school in the morning." She's like, because the mum's not around, he just takes them fucking camping. Just like batshit. And obviously that his dad is just as crazy, because he went nuts at a press conference the other day, didn't he? Kicking over tables.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know what it, I just literally saw some old bloke chucking tables everywhere.
Just trying to, yeah, link up a fight, get the Logan Fury and Logan Paul, Tommy Fury. Yeah, well, KSI is fighting Tommy Fury, but right. Logan Paul's on the card as well. I don't know if he's fighting the next UFC guy, Dylan.
Probably. That's what they seem to fight.
Yeah, so.
Old UFC. So, yeah.
So it's something to do with that, but yeah.
They're a completely different rant I don't really want to go into right now.
So shall we get on to recasting the MCU for the X-Men, sorry, should I say, for the MCU. So we picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 characters.
That's a round number.
The way you sent me them, is that how you wrote them down in there?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So let's go with then, straight away, Professor X. Who you got?
I've got to pronounce his name. Giancarlo Esposito, who is...
The bad guy in Breaking Bad.
He's the bad guy in everything.
Bad guy in everything.
Yeah.
So you're switching it up.
So, yeah, I want to see him play. I think I saw a picture of him in the chair with a bald head once. And I kind of went, yeah, I want to see that. And then when we decided to do this, I was like, no, I still want to see that. So he was kind of the only name I put down for it.
I think he has been, like, one of the people that they're trying to get into the MCU. And I think flipping him to be a good guy might be a good way to do it.
Yeah, because he's a bad guy in Breaking Bad. He's pretty much a bad guy in The Boys.
Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. That new Far Cry game, they basically just did him as
the bad guy.
Yeah, they even just did his likeness as well. So I thought, yeah, let's have him as a good guy. He's got that sort of calm demeanour about him. And he can, you know, I can see him sitting in a chair, bossing people about.
Yeah.
But being wise with it.
Fair play. Yeah. I went younger, although I still went old for Magneto.
Okay.
And just because he was bold and British, Mark Strong.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. If you didn't hear that, by the way, because the motorbike, it was Mark Strong.
The new motorbikes.
Yeah. And he's obviously got comic book experience with Kingsman, Kick-Ass, and he was the bad guy in Shazam.
Yeah.
So he knows them. So, and I just think Mark Strong's great.
Yeah, I think in a rock and roller, he had that sort of presence of just being in charge of everybody as well, didn't he? And I like that.
I just thought, yeah, British and bold. Because I was trying to look at people to go against my Magneto, so we could do that next if you want. Which obviously, because he was old, and I was like, ah, oh, shit. And I was like, I don't want X-Men to be like for like or what it was. So let's flip it up, and why not have a younger Professor X and an older Magneto. And my older Magneto was Charles Dance.
Okay, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
He's a cunt, isn't he?
He's just, yeah.
Plays a cunt well.
He's brilliant.
And
pretty much everything, yeah.
And I just kept thinking back to the scene he has when you first see him in Game of Thrones, cutting that hog.
I love that scene where he's ranting and
changing. Yeah, and he's so good. So I could just instantly see him ranting about mutants not being accepted, and just and yeah, I love Charles Dance, so
yeah,
because I did think you could flip it with him, put him as Professor X and shave his head, and he's an older guy, but I was like, oh, I want to see you as an old man.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, he's too good at it, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's so, that scene that you were saying with the skin and the deer.
Oh, it was a deer, weren't it, Soren?
Yeah. I mean, he actually skinned a deer for that scene.
Yeah, he learnt how to do it, weren't it?
And he's so good in that scene. I saw it was like a gif of him ranting about how they ended it with the Night King and what have you. And it had, like, subtitles. But as you're reading it, you can hear him ranting it as because he's that good. It's like he's put it in your head.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And also, I don't know if you've... Do you watch The Big Fat Quiz of the Year?
Yes.
How good is he at just reading people's autobiographies?
Yeah, they're usually complete idiots as well, isn't
it? I just love that as well, so I just love the bloke.
People
so.
From The Only Way is Essex, or
yeah.
And he's there reading their autobiographies as if it's serious.
Yeah. So, who did you pick for?
I went for Gerard Harris, who is...
Sherlock, he's Moriarty.
Yeah,
Sherlock
that's him. He was in Fringe as well as a bad guy, and he's done, I think he's in Chernobyl, I haven't seen that yet, but apparently it's really good. He's just got that presence of...
He's just got a cunty face as well, yeah, look at that.
I remember seeing an interview with him, and he said he doesn't, because of his face, he doesn't get normal roles. He is the son of, Richard Harris, who played the original Dumbledore. So when they Fantastic Beasts, there was a big calling for him to be Dumbledore, and I was fully behind that.
Yeah.
And then they gave it Jude Law. Jude Law, sorry. But yeah, my idea for Magneto was because you've got, like, you saw Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender, who both did brilliantly. And I could believe that Michael Fassbender could still batter me, even without his powers.
Yeah.
Whereas I reckon I could take Ian McKellen.
Yeah,
he doesn't offer any sort of physical threat, and that's kind of what I liked about the idea of Jared Harris, in the fact that he doesn't look like he could batter you.
He's weedy,
but yeah, kind of, and a bit sort of.
But he's sinister,
scrawny. But yeah, sinister's the perfect word for it. And
yeah,
you can see him chucking metal at people and just being horrible.
Yeah,
He's brilliant at everything that I've seen him in. To be fair,
they're two solid bits. Not to blow up my own trumpet as well. I like both of them. So, this one, I had to Google this one, because I know there's obviously been a lot of people around Wolverine, and there's a big call for, like, Taron Egerton to do it.
I looked at him and thought he might be a bit young.
Yeah.
A bit of a baby face. And
so, it's weird. So, there's one that I Googled that I thought was a good pick, but it's not who I've picked. So, the one that I thought it was outside the box was Aaron Paul.
Okay.
People had put as Wolverine. I was like, okay, I like that as an app. But I picked, and I don't think you would have seen him in anything, which is Austin Butler, who is Elvis. That's an awful picture. But it shows he can do long hair.
Yeah.
So that's, I just think, like, he's got such a strong jawline and stuff. And
okay,
then deep eyes. Like, he could play the sorrow of it. And obviously he's played Elvis. And he's obviously an up-and-coming talent, and I think you want someone that's going to be able to do like Hugh Jackman and do it for years to come.
Yeah.
And so why not get him in there and do it? And I think he just has... I think he's one of the people, you look at him and he has a presence to him, and I think that's what you need with Wolverine. I think he'd have to bulk up, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But then if you look at originally with Wolverine the comics, and obviously he isn't like that. A lot of people saying Danny DeVito is actually perfectly cast for Wolverine because he's actually
quite, it.
Yeah, not now.
Some of the stuff that I've seen, Danny DeVito, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, just doing that.
But like back in the day, say, Danny DeVito was kind of the right stature-esque.
Yeah.
So even though he's different to that, I was like, well, if I'm not getting Danny DeVito, I'll go with someone that I think could, you know, has got a presence. So that's why I picked him. But Aaron Paul, I thought, that's an interesting choice, different.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other people say, and the reason for the stature thing as well, is Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, I saw Daniel Radcliffe, and I don't know if he'd be convincing enough.
Mm.
Especially if you knew it was him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You'd just see Harry Potter with sideburns.
And that's the hard thing for him, isn't it? Ever since he's done Harry Potter, is trying to break that mould. And obviously he's done a lot more films now. And, I mean, I turned off that Swiss Army Man thing that he did. That was weird as fuck, with a farting dead body and shit.
But he's trying, bless him.
Yeah, he's trying different roles, so maybe he could have a stab at it. And but I mean, I just keep going back to that scene where he fucking cries in Harry Potter, and lad can't act in that shit. So
no, but yeah, it doesn't help that he did that. What's it as well? Didn't he that magician thing? Oh, was it Now You See Me? Was he Now You See Me Too?
Was it the second one?
Yeah, and I hated that film.
What was the what was that fucking the Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock one?
Oh yeah, The Lost City or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's like the bad guy in that, and I was like, alright, whatever.
Yeah, that film it didn't look like my cup of tea. I don't know.
No. Stacey put it on one night, she'd already seen it in the cinema, and I was like, yeah, it's alright, it ain't great, but who was your pick for Wolverine then?
Again, I googled it as well because I just thought, yeah, see what other get inspiration because
yeah.
Hugh Jackman is so iconic with it.
And it was the one that you arguably, and we should say obviously this is just our opinion. And Hugh Jackman obviously is going to be in Deadpool 3, so he could be in it.
Yeah,
and arguably you'd want to keep him, but
yeah, and to be fair, no matter who, if they do pick anyone else, someone's not going to be happy. There will be people ranting about it.
But no one was happy with Heath Ledger being the Joker. Exactly. At first, so.
No one was happy with Robert Pattinson being Batman either.
No.
So while I was Googling it, I saw a meme that I think I sent you ages ago of Matt Berry as Wolverine.
Yeah.
There's like a little rant at the side of him just sort of going, Sabretooth, is that fuzzy prick still about? Right, I'm going for a piss and I want the jet ready when we're back. And you can hear him doing it. And it being, yeah. I reckon it'd be hilarious. I didn't go with Matt Berry.
If we were doing a sitcom style one, we'd have Matt Berry.
Yeah. I went
one minute, I'll just go and put
that. All right, yep. Fuck it.
Sorry about that, folks. The mic was about to drop and I was interested. Go on then, you're Wolverine. So it's not Matt Berry.
It's not Matt Berry. It is Lester Boy, Richard Armitage, who was...
Yes.
Thorin in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And he's done lots of other stuff. And yeah, I think he played a sort of small, stocky dude quite well. Whether he is small and stocky, I don't actually know.
Shall but, I have a Google of his heart?
Yeah, he's probably massive. But, you know, they did well to make him look small and stocky next to Ian McKellen. And yeah, he's got that sort of gravelly, sort of weathered look about him.
Why is it done in meters?
Oh, no, they always do. And yeah, that just sort of, they're like, there's parts where he's really sort of caring towards like Bilbo and whatever,
yeah.
And then other bits where, especially at the end when he's gone mad, where he's just horrible,
yeah,
and you know quite vicious. So I think he'd do a decent job. And look out for an English boy.
I like that.
I think quite a few of these might be English.
I do like that. It's an outsider pick. I can't remember seeing that anywhere on Google either. Yeah. So.
Although I do have a slight confession to make with Richard Armitage, and I've got a backup in case he's not allowed. So. One of our main rules has always been they're not allowed to have played the character before. As I was sort of gone, yes, him, wrote him down, and then had a look on IMDb, and he voiced Wolverine in 2 podcast episodes.
Oh.
So I was like...
We'll allow it. Good. Well, that means he's got some experience for it, you know.
Exactly, he's got the voice.
He is 6'2".
6'2". Hugh Jackman's about that. I know, because they had to give James... Marsden? Madison? Cyclops. They had to give him lifts in his shoes to make him bigger than him.
Fair play.
Despite the fact that he's about the same height.
So Cyclops, as I said earlier, is in the films at the minute, a smug twat. So, and I don't know if you've ever watched Cuckoo?
No.
The Greg Davis show. So I cast Taylor Lautner. So I don't know if you know who that is. Basically,
it rings a bell.
The other guy that's not Robert Pattinson in Twilight.
Oh, yes, I do know who he is.
And just in Cuckoo, he plays a bit of a... Well, he doesn't play smug, he plays a dipsy guy. But I just thought, well, I hate Twilight. There's all that smug about, oh, Team Jacob, Team whatever, Edward in it. And he just comes across and looks smug. So I was like, I could imagine him doing a very... Is it Scott Marsden that plays him in the original? Was that his name?
James Marsden, I think.
James Marsden, you're right, yeah.
Scott Summers, isn't it? Yeah. Cyclops.
I've got half and half. So I just thought, if I wanted someone to play similar-esque, because that's what I've based my opinion on what Cyclops is like, because obviously I've not read many of the X-Men comics, I was like, he'd play good for it, and I'd want Wolverine to hit him.
Yeah.
So, and then that would make a good love triangle. So,
yeah, fair.
That's why I went on.
I kind of had the same idea in my head when I did my pick. I went with Ben Barnes, who's in Westworld, and most notably played Billy Russo in the Punisher series. He was like opposite. Mostly because he looks smug. He was quite good at the whole leading his mercenary troops and doing that. And in Westworld, he's brilliant in that, to be fair. And quite smug in all of them. So I figured,
he'd be a good pick.
And he'd have that sort of that look
that
you just want to punch.
100% agree with that. So then we went with Storm. And I got a little help from this because I did a post on Instagram, which is I did actors that could define the next decade.
Yeah.
And I put her in there. So Zazie Beetz technically has already been in an X-Men film because she was in Deadpool 2 as Domino.
Okay.
But she's not reprising the thing. But Domino in Deadpool 3... And she's come out and said that she's upset about that, which I'm like, fair enough, because she was the best fucking thing about Deadpool 2, in my opinion. So I thought what could really do well with it as well is that, because Deadpool's obviously coming into the MCU, you could have him go, because obviously he breaks the third wall. I know you!
Yeah.
And it could be like a funny, you've done that. And obviously you could make her look different, being Storm and whatnot, dye her hair white and that. And obviously she is Joker's girlfriend, not girlfriend, in the Joker.
Yeah.
So, and she's just great. She was in the last series of Black Mirror, and she was the best thing about the episode she was in. She's just a great actress, so I'd like to see her do it.
Fair enough.
And she's young, and she could do it.
Yeah,
But she'd be a bit older than my couple of my other picks. So I thought she still got that motherly kind of vibe.
Okay. Yeah, I struggled with this one, probably the most. And I think it's because I just don't know that many sort of black actresses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did think about... what was her name? I've got to think of her actual name. Danai Gurira? Michonne in The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like that.
That's another thing I've been watching. Yeah, problem with that. She's already in the MCU, isn't she? She's one of Black Panther's... She's Black Panther's right-hand soldier. Yeah. So she's out. I was pretty much set on that. I ended up going with Moses Ingram, who is the third sister in the Obi-Wan series. Despite the fact the Obi-Wan series being rubbish, I thought she was actually quite good.
Moses what, sorry?
Ingram. I thought she was quite good in there.
And yes, she
like,
was.
You know, when she was like in the face of Uncle Ben and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I found her more of a threat than the guy that led them. So when they kind of fobbed her off and didn't really give her much time and just sort of focused on him and Darth Vader, I was a bit like, oh, I want to see more of her.
Yeah.
So I thought...
I like that.
Yeah. Good casting. Her as a badass Storm.
And I don't think she's been in too many...
No, she hasn't been in.
Definitely be a boost for her. And that's what I like about when you do these kind of things, that it can be a boost. So, yeah, God shit, some of her stuff's got 3.1 rating on
it. Yeah, this is it.
She was in The Queen's Gambit as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Watch that.
No, I've not seen it either. But.
Good choice that. Back to my notes. So we did Beast. So funny enough, I chose someone for Beast, and then I saw that he had apparently attacked a producer or something by holding her against her throat. So I thought, well, Disney aren't going to cast him, which is Emile Hirsch, who's a great actor.
Yeah.
and I didn't realise he'd done that. So I was like, yeah, you ain't getting cast in a Disney property, mate. Get over it. So I went with Alex Wolff. Now, you wouldn't have known him from Alex Hereditary, because I doubt you've seen it.
I have not.
He's one of the kids in Jumanji.
Okay.
The fuck off nose. So, because I always thought with Beast, he's a bit geeky, and he's got a geeky look. Start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a scene in Hereditary where he smashes his face against the table and he actually broke his nose doing it.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's all out for his acting.
So, yeah, he's committed.
So, and he's an up-and-coming guy. and another one that I think would get a lot from it. And with Beast, you put makeup on him anyway, so it doesn't necessarily matter about his looks. But yeah. I think he could pull off the geeky side of the character, and then obviously, hopefully, do the intimidating. And like I say, I wanted a few youngins in there to get the nod of being in that. So that was my pick.
Fair enough. My vision of Beast was more of a sort of cue to James Bond, sort of in a lab tinkering with bits, you know, fixing.
Yeah.
It's kind of what he did in like First Class, and
Nicholas Holt much was that S kind of.
Yeah, so kind of that. But I also thought it's Disney, innit? We need to bring the comedy value in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he could be that, like the scientist that tinkers with the stuff, gives him new equipment. Also the comedy relief. So I went with Matt Berry. He's got that sort of fairy look. I can see him just sort of like, so I'm bringing him something. Going, oh, fucking hell. Obviously not, it's Disney, but talking about taking care of the jet as if it's his baby or something. And then if you really wanted to have him in an action scene, you've got CGI. So I'm pretty sure Kelsey Grammer didn't swing from that pole.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer isn't the most athletic guy in the world, let's be honest. But yeah, no, I'm 100% down for Matt Berry in there. Mystique. So, again, I was helped out with actors that could dominate the next decade.
Fair enough.
Olivia Cooke of House of Dragon fame, Bates Motel. I love her. I think she'd be great.
Yeah, she is.
She's played. She has got red hair in film things, and I think she's just fantastic.
Yeah, fair.
There you go.
Fair.
It was a quick one.
Yeah,
it was one of the first I decided, to be fair.
My thing with Mystique was I wanted her back to how she was originally, of that bitch.
Yeah.
Instead of the newer version where for some reason she was really nice and actually the leader of the X-Men.
Yeah, because it's Jennifer Lawrence and you needed to have her as a star.
Apparently Jennifer Lawrence can't be a bad guy. So I was like, I'm getting rid of that. And I sort of looked at it, and apparently, comic-wise and what have you, she was quite seductive and, just... Yeah, so I did toy with no one and just having it as different people all the time, but I fobbed that off quite quickly. This is my person that's already been in there, and it was Natalie Dormer, because she was in Captain America and she gets off of him.
But she was, so basic.
But I thought I could put that as a storyline of, because she wants to be so seductive and sort of, sexy and what have you, she's seen the person that seduced Captain America
and based her look.
So that's her sort of when she's in human form because of that. And then, you've got blue makeup everywhere, so you can't really tell it's the same person anyway.
She's a great actress as well.
Yeah, and when you think, she was, I don't know if you've ever seen Elementary.
No.
Where she was Irene Adler, then, spoiler, Moriarty, which was a weird twist, but she played a bitch so well that I thought, yeah. She can, and she was quite seductive in Game of Thrones and whatever.
Yeah, and there's a Game of Thrones connection between both the Pixar.
Yeah.
And obviously Olivia Cooke was a great bitch in House of Dragon. You watched House of Dragon.
Yeah.
Good, I was like, oh shit, I must have won that for you. So yeah.
I like Olivia Cooke as well.
She's good. So Sabretooth was an easy pick for me as well, because he's coming to Wales Comic Con. Ryan Hurst.
Oh, I nearly went Ryan Hurst. Literally, on my picks, he was the first name down. Because one of the things, I've been catching up with The Walking Dead as well, because I never watched the last series.
And obviously Beta and Walking
and
Dead.
Literally, there was a bit where Beta's running around smashing people as I'm sort of thinking about it. I was like, oh, Ryan Hurst. I didn't in the end.
At least we're close on one.
Do you love Ryan Hurst? I went with, back to Game of Thrones, Pilau Azbek.
Who is?
Euron Greyjoy.
Okay.
And I went with him because I saw a clip of, do you know, when he attacks... Oberyn's daughters and what have you on the boat.
Yeah.
He's savage. And
he is meant to be even savager in the books.
Great big hairy bloke. And
he fits the look.
I can see him having scraps with Richard Armitage and beating crap out of one another.
Yeah.
And also in, I don't know if you've ever seen Overlord. It's a group of soldiers find a German
bunker. Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
He's in that and he's the main sort of nutcase.
He's in that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I only went to see it in the cinema. I haven't seen it since, so...
I watched it when I was ill. But yeah, he's the main guy that gets messed up and batters everyone, basically.
Oh, right.
So
I liked, because I picked Ryan Hurst first, but then when I went with Austin Butler, I was a bit like, So you've got Reinhurst, it's this massive guy, and Austin Butler's obviously a bit smaller, which Wolverine always was a bit smaller.
Yeah. Where,
well, not as much when it was Lee Schreiber and that X-Men Origins Wolverine, but no one cares about that. So I thought it would be quite a good contrast to have the littler Wolverine fighting.
It was literally a coin toss that changed mine for Reinhurst.
Fair play. At least we got one there. Jean Grey, I just went with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Fair.
Because, again, she's fantastic. I toyed with her for Mystique, but I was like, again, if you cast Anya Taylor-Joy in Mystique, I thought, like you said with Jennifer Lawrence, that it's a bit too much that she's a good girl and they'd want to make her the lead.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought, as Jean Grey, she's already kind of a lead of the X-Men, and also she had red hair in the menu. So when she goes into Dark Phoenix, she can do it. And she's a fantastic actress. And just, I think she could nail any role. And technically, if we're being honest again, it is a red card because she was in that New Mutants. But no one really saw it. So it don't matter.
Didn't watch that?
But we're in the multiverse now, so it don't matter.
I'll be honest, most people don't even know that. Is that where that Black Bolt was from?
No.
No.
That was...
See, even I'm getting confused with it.
Yeah, so. What the fuck was Black Bolt from? Fuck, it was the one that they made a TV series.
Inhumans?
Like. Yes.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, New Mutants is the one where it's young kids. It is actually set in the X-Men universe, funny enough. And they're in like a school for kids with... Not obviously at Xavier's school. It's more like a hospital.
It's Magneto.
And then they start seeing shit. Yeah. It's not great. It's not as bad as everyone made out, but it's not great by any means. So
fair enough.
But yeah.
I went with Olivia Cooke.
Yay.
There you go. Half inspired by your post. Flicking through it and went, oh yeah, she's brilliant. And she has that sort of caring side at some points, and then she's a complete bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you wanted to go down the Phoenix route with the storyline and whatever, which they probably do because it's a really popular one.
They failed it twice. They might as well give it another stuff.
Yeah, third time lucky. I reckon she'd nail that. And
she would.
Can also be, yeah. Yeah, so I went with Olivia Cooke for pretty much the same reasons you put her as Mystique.
Yeah, that's good. So obviously in the last one we said, so you gave the other nine to choose from, and I said, well, let's put Gambit in there because a lot of people love Gambit. And he's never had it, and there was this whole thing that Channing Tatum was going to do a Gambit movie, and it never got off the ground. So I went with, because with Gambit, he is cocky.
Yeah.
He's a cocky dick, but also I think he can scrap, right? That's what I went with. And the person I went with, I've seen in a film that's all set in prison and does that, and also seen him as a cocky knobhead, which is Jack O'Connell.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong, I hate the Skins sequel. And one of the reasons I hate it is because he's a dick in it, and he plays a dick well.
Yeah.
But he is a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
So good. And it starred up, I was on about, with the prison film, if you've ever seen it.
Yes, I have seen that, yeah.
And I don't think it's
basically just scum, wasn't it?
Yeah, they all fucking are. But he's great in that. And isn't it a war film or something?
71, I think. I've seen that. He's in Northern Ireland. When it's all kicking off, and so I can't remember what happens. I think his mate gets shot, and it all sort of kicks off.
So you bang on the center,
They've got and so basically the idea is that they want to kill him, so that way there's no sort of witnesses to it.
Yeah.
And so he's sort of running for his life in Northern Ireland, surrounded by people that hate him in a British Army get up.
And he was in Eden Lake.
Yeah, he was.
But I just think, like I say, a lot of these, my picks was, I want younger people that can do it for a while and get the rub of being in the MCU, and I think he deserves it. He's kind of, he's done all his, he probably would reject it because he likes his kind of more, I don't know, indie films, would we say?
Yeah.
So, but he is a phenomenal actor, so.
Is he in Dunkirk, or have I made that up? I think I might have made that up.
Thing is, twat from One Direction.
Yeah, Harry Styles. So my pick for Gambit, I didn't really know. So I have got someone, don't worry. I kind of went more on the look, I think, than someone that looks like they could be cocky. And I can see this person with a stick beating people, like twatting them here, there and everywhere. And then, again, your post helped me out with Timothy
Chalamet.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, mostly because he looks the part.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him on your thing and went, yeah, put a bandana on him, he's Gambit. So, yeah, that's kind of why I went with him.
Yeah, which is the weird thing when they're on about Channing Tatum. I don't get that for Gambit. He doesn't look it. And don't get me wrong, I like Channing Tatum, but he ain't Gambit.
Yeah, and I know Gambit was... he was a different nationality.
Yeah,
he had an accent.
Was he South African or something? I can't remember. Should we have a Google?
Yeah,
Gambit's nationality.
I want to say it begins with a C. But it's not Chinese. This is really good radio, isn't it?
Good podcasting. Cajun.
Cajun. Yeah, that was it, Cajun.
Is that food?
Yeah, well, I imagine the spice comes from there.
Yeah. But no, I like that pick. Obviously, funny enough, when I put up that Actors Against Divine Next Decade, and I put him, and then when I did the one where I got people on Instagram to put in, a lot of people were slating that. Like, oh, I'm sick of Timothée Chalamet already.
I don't know. Well, much.
Well, you did June. What was the other fucking thing? He's doing Wonka, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
well, I can see that.
There's a trailer for it. He actually looks pretty decent in it.
Yeah. I did hear a random rumor. This was completely unrelated and it popped up. Apparently, he is accused of spreading chlamydia to basically the whole of his uni campus.
Really?
Apparently, yeah, he caught it and then slept with quite a few people. He also slept with people. But the story is that everyone got it in the end and he was like ground zero for it.
Oh, okay.
How true it is. It's another story, but...
Yeah, like the whole rumour that Obama's gay.
Yeah. But it is a genuine rumour that's out there.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's done Call Me By Your Name as his big breakout role. I've never seen it. Lady Bird. So he's done basically Greta Gerwig's two films other than Barbie, because he also did Little Women. He did that Bones and All, which I really want to see.
I've not heard of that.
It's a weird take on zombies.
Oh, okay.
And then Mark Rylance is basically the bad guy in it. Some people didn't like it, some people did. So he's been in a lot. He was in that French Dispatch, which I didn't even finish. It's probably Wes Anderson's worst film, in my opinion. But I think we've got some good, solid picks there that we could definitely see the MCU launching and working with them.
Yeah, definitely.
So Disney, if you want to hire us,
yeah, we will
contact me on the Instagram, and we could be casting directors. They might put you out a lot of money.
And I will do it for half the price your current casting directors do it.
Yeah.
So I imagine they get
I'll probably do it for a third, but then I'd still join in on the strikes as well if that's part of it. So, but I think we better leave it there, buddy, because we've got to go and play football.
Oh, yeah.
The enthusiasm in your voice.
Oh, I'm comfy.
But thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Lovely. And we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, and I hope you've been cultured.